Morning. Welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible. Bible's on way, and we are excited for another day of grace. We're excited that you are here sitting with us. We're also excited the ones that are tuning in through our webpage and website and our YouTube channel. We thank you for the questions and comments that you sent us. We do treasure those, and we hope that what we're studying here through the Word of God, right, divided, that you'll be able to glean something from it. And if you have your red books, be turning to page 393. We're going to sing Take My Life.
Well,
I did this last week. The choir's not set up yet. We do have the choir with us today. And they did practice last Wednesday. And some of you was there, some of you wasn't.
Drive all the way up here, we didn't chill.
You show up to practice with the choir.
They
sung a verse in there that you don't have in your book. So they have the liberty to change that. Hey, we're in lesson two. As we talked about last week, we did change up. We went from fundamentals to dispensationalism, and now we're studying the book of Genesis. And we left off lesson two last week talking about some people that was showing are trying to refute the fact that Moses didn't write the book of Genesis. So they always took the J's and the D's and the E's and all that stuff. And they said, okay, see, everywhere Jehovah said, Jehovah wrote this book. Everywhere LLM did that type of thing. So we're in lesson two, the first book of Moses. And if you got go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Matthew, Mark. After we do the book of Genesis, we're probably going to go through the Old Testament survey. And what do you know about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? What do we call Genesis through Malachi?
The Old Testament.
Are you aware that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is part of Old Testament scriptures?
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't believe that. Mm-hmm. And so you got to go to Hebrews to find out why. But I said Luke chapter 24. And verse 44. What about John? One second, I got one more question. Okay, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now in the Hebrew Bible, there are divisions, and which we call the Old Testament, okay? And you have the law of Moses, you have the prophets, and you have the writings. And those three divisions make up the outline or the arrangements of the books of the Hebrew Bible. Now, that's what we look at, the fact that Genesis of Malachi, Matthew, Mark are part of the Hebrew Bible. In our English Bible, it's laid out a little differently, isn't it? Mm-hmm. As you notice that, because how many's got a Hebrew Bible with them today? How many can read Hebrew today? How many can read Greek? Very few of us, if any. Many people go to school and they teach them Greek and all that stuff. I thank my God that I have in my possession a Bible, God's infallible word in the English speaking people. Now, I may not speak English correctly for some people. You go down home, they understand me right perfectly. Now, some of my down home folks, now when they talk, I have to sit back and, you know, tune in a little bit because, you know, I'm like, I know what he said. I can't spell it, but I know what he said. But anyway, having the Word of God in your possession today means the world of everything. And they arranged somewhat differently. We had the same identical books as the Hebrew Bible, okay? They're arranged a little different, and their number is different because instead of having 1 and 2 Samuel, we have two books. They have one book. 1 and 2 Kings is one book for them. We have two books, so forth and so on. Same words, same thing. And instead of having 12 minor prophets in one, as one book, as it is in the Hebrew Bible, they're called the 12. We have 12 books. And the numbers just off a little bit, but the wording is the same. Okay, when you mentioned about being around a bunch of Israelites or Jewish people, if you're teaching something out of your Bible, the Old Testament, they can relate to what you're saying over there if they're Bible students. They really can't. And so when you say that God wrote 39 books in the Old Testament, you're being just as accurate as he said, as the Hebrew has 22 books. Just as accurate. As long as you understand that you're talking about the same content, just divided up a little differently. The content's there. Mm-hmm. And both the English and Hebrew and other language that the Bible has been translated into, the book of Genesis stands first. No matter what, it stands first. In fact, the law of Moses, the Torah, the five books of Moses stands first. In the Hebrew Bible, and the English Bible. And the word Torah is the Hebrew word for law. And you also see them call it the Pentateuch. Penta means five. And Tuch means book. And the Torah, the law, the Pentateuch, the five books. Those first five books of Moses are the Pentateuch, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Many of you know this. When you look at those books, you will see the divine hand of how God arranged those books. One thing's for sure, Moses was not personally on hand when the book of Genesis took place. You know that, don't you? He wasn't in the garden.
Right.
He wasn't on the ark.
Right. He was like a prophet looking backward in time.
And he went on, so he was not there. He was a youngster when the first part of Exodus took place. And he was having to rely on the historical data and information. Many of us still has to rely on the historical information comes out of this Bible. If you think about the history that was written for time as world history, okay, in your state history, you learned things through that. How? Why? Because it was written down as historical fact. Now, if you take that and erase that, and you start teaching history starting today, how will you know where you came from in the past? You don't. You lost that. So just keep in mind, when people tries to take this Bible and rearrange it or rewrite it, to me, it ain't no different than trying to take a history away from you and world history and stuff. Now, there's a saying out there that is actually a fact. When you have dominion over somebody or power, you write history. Like, I'm gonna share this with you. War between states. Who won the war between the states? Many of you call it a civil war, but the correct term is the war between the states. Who won it?
North.
The Federals won it, okay? So when they did it, guess who got to write history?
No.
Okay, in the religious system, you look at Roman Catholics. They're big and strong out there. So when you read church history, you better watch where you read it from, because guess who wrote it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it would behoove you to look at different things and study things out, not just grab it from one source. Now, we can grab it from this source, right? And he was relying on that. When we go down through Genesis, that the book is actually made up of 11 historical records from the time period. And Moses brings those, and God Almighty takes the historical biology, and through Moses, starts to put them in a book, starts to put them in the Word of God. The five books of Moses are arranged in order to demonstrate a divine progression, a spiritual progression of truth. And Genesis is the book of beginning. It is called, many call it the seed plot of the Bible. You got to have a beginning. It begins everything. Look at the first verse and the last verse in the book of Genesis.
What?
Look at the first verse in Genesis and the last verse of Genesis. There's a spiritual progression through there. And Genesis begins with life, with God creating the universe, the human race, placing them in a fellowship with Him. The first verse in your Bible says what?
In the beginning, God created.
God created the what?
Heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth, right? The last verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 50, verse 26. So Joseph died, being 110 year old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. What happens between Genesis chapter 1:1 and Genesis chapter 50 verse 26 is summed up in one word: ruin.
Ruin.
Ruin. And you start with God creating, giving life, and you wind up death in a coffin in Egypt. You're ruined. And the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings, but it also is a book of ruin. The fall of man. And you come to the book of Exodus, and when you have a ruined race, when you have the fall of man, what do you need? If you're ruined and down in the dumps, not on a new beginning, what do you need to be? Redeemed. There you go. Redeemed. And the book of Exodus is, by everybody's standard, is a book of redemption. And God redeeming his people.